A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
Words Appear, a Netflix original documentary. A Film 45 production in association with Forager and Vision Film Company. Directed by Matt Oggins. Sunlight filters into a bedroom through a sheer curtain. A teenager sits on his bed and holds a cochlear implant. He attaches it to a sound processor and plants it under the skin behind his ear. Next, he puts headphones over his ears and plays music from his cell phone. He nods his head in time with the music. At night, players line up at the scrimmage line on a football field. They wear black and orange uniforms with orange helmets. A player in the center wears number 55 on his jersey. He snaps the ball to the quarterback. A running back takes a handoff from the quarterback and runs down the field. Scenes alternate between the football field and the teen's bedroom. He lies back on his bed. The running back charges down the field and evades his opponents. In his bedroom, the teen closes his eyes. On the field, the running back breaks through a tackle. A teammate runs a blocking pattern alongside him. In his room, the teen sits up and shouts with his mouth open wide. A title appears, Audible. The teen wears a backpack and walks down a school hallway, carrying a duffel bag. Inside a dorm room, he makes his bed. He sits on the bed and cracks his knuckles. He stares out a window. His name appears, Amari. Later, he walks down a hallway with his teammates and kicks a drinking fountain in frustration. In a locker room, players sign angrily.
It's not over. Hey, this is not flag football. This is real football.
A teammate argues with Amari in a darkened room.
I'm fine. Stop worrying about me. What about you? What the hell are you doing out there?
Amari heads toward the locker room. His teammate stops him.
Not in front of them.
In the locker room.
Don't look at the scoreboard. We're still alive, all right?
Several of the players sit on a bench and hang their heads. A coach stands in front of them.
Stop feeling sorry for yourselves. We're down by 2 touchdowns. They're doing better than we are, but that's fine. We just need to man up. If you see an opponent in front of you, tackle him and get him down. Quit being petty with them and letting them get into your heads. That's their goal. They're trying to get you mad. That's their goal. It's the second half. Focus on football, not them.
The players stand and huddle together. One of the coaches turns off the lights. The lights come on, and the players put their helmets on and head to the field. Words appear. Frederick, Maryland is home to one of America's championship high school football teams, Maryland School for the Deaf. A man pounds a bass drum on the sidelines. Stadium lights illuminate the field at night. A coach signs to players from Texas.
You have to be aggressive. Now we gotta stay focused.
Cheerleaders wave pom-poms. The opponents from Texas deliver the kickoff and the game gets underway. And friends cheer from the bleachers. The Maryland team runs another play and fumbles the ball. Amari and an opponent recover the fumble and grapple with each other. An assistant coach steps onto the field and signs.
Hey, Amari, stop! Amari, stop it!
He signs to Amari on the sidelines.
Why? Take a breath. I need you the whole game.
Another coach signs.
When they talk trash to you, don't get in their face like that. Just be cool.
Amari's breath turns to vapor as he exhales. 2 Texas teammates tackle a Maryland receiver. In play after play, the Maryland defenders fight to limit the gains by the Texas offense. An assistant coach for Maryland addresses one of the players.
You can do better. We need you.
A cheerleader with long blonde hair encourages the spectators. The team from Texas dominates on the field and celebrates a scoring play. As time runs out on the scoreboard, the score reads Rangers 43, Orioles 6. The Rangers celebrate on the field. Amari walks off the field and removes his helmet. Words appear. This is their first loss against a deaf school in 16 seasons. Amari slams his helmet on the turf. One of the cheerleaders hugs his friend on the sidelines after the game. Inside the school, a teammate signs to Amari.
Hey, accept it. You need to accept what happened.
You think I don't accept this? Screw you, man.
All right, okay. It's just one loss, man. It's nothing.
Amari sits on the floor and sulks. Later, the blonde cheerleader hugs him.
Will I see you later?
Outside, Amari signs to a teammate.
It's our first loss of this season. I know we're all upset. Don't let the nerves get to you. We beat Texas last year, remember?
His teammate sits on the ground.
We had a long winning streak.
It's our senior year. We gotta finish strong.
The stadium lights shut off and fade. At home, Amari sits with his mother at the kitchen table and looks at photos in an album. In a photo, Amari as a toddler sports a wide, toothless grin. In another photo, a thick gauze bandage covers the back of his head. His mother signs.
U-M-A-M-M-A-S-B-O-Y.
Amari smiles and nods. In his bedroom, he sits on the bed and signs.
I became deaf when I had meningitis. I was born hearing, and later, at 2 or 3 years old, I lost my hearing. I was sick and close to dying, and I had a brain infection and swelling.
Scenes alternate between the kitchen and bedroom. In his bedroom.
I can't hear anything. I can't hear cheering, the fans yelling.
Images from the football stadium flash.
I feel their vibration. I feel their footsteps when they run, the boom, boom, boom of the vibration.
Amari signs with his mother in the kitchen, in his bedroom.
The cochlear implant, or CI, gives you more ability to hear. I have the cochlear implant and I only use it to listen to music, and that's it. I can feel the vibrations and I can hear the music, but I don't hear the lyrics. Music helps me stay focused and calm.
Amari connects his implant and puts on headphones. He nods his head to the music, a montage of images, goalposts on a football field, a water tower emblazoned with City of Frederick. A large banner reads, Maryland. At school, Amari gets a tray of food in the cafeteria. Groups of students sit at round tables and sign to each other. Amari sits at a table with a group of friends. One of his friends signs.
I'm not crazy into basketball. Honestly, football, that's my thing.
Amari responds.
You know what keeps me motivated? Working hard. That's why I don't like baseball. You know, I don't like that bullshit. Right.
True.
You're dumb.
Other friends at the table laugh. Amari grabs a friend next to him and doubles over laughing. Two friends sign to each other at a different table.
So, Lyra, are you going to homecoming with Amari, or...?
I'm not sure. We'll see how it goes. If things are good with us, then we might go together. We'll see. Amari said he didn't really want to go, so we'll see about that.
Lyra's friend shoots her a skeptical look. She smirks. Outside, the football coach jogs onto the field with the team behind him in practice uniforms. An assistant coach bangs a bass drum on the sidelines, and the ball is snapped. Words appear. Coach Ryan, the coach signs.
Football is one of the avenues for them to show the world what we're made of. That's not the only way, but it's one of the many great ways to put that on display.
In Amari's bedroom.
From here on out, we are seriously focused.
Amari works out on a pull-up bar.
Our goal is to win all the way to homecoming and win that homecoming game.
Coach Ryan runs drills with the team on the field, in the locker room.
With a deaf team, because they don't hear, I believe their other senses are heightened. Our players have a better feel on the field, and I believe they see things better because they can't hear.
At night, the team plays a league game under the stadium lights. In the locker room, Amari wears his team jersey.
How do we communicate on the field? We huddle up and shoot our plays out. We have a secret code.
The players gesture and sign to each other. Daytime, cheerleaders rehearse on a track. A name appears, Jalen. Jalen and the other cheerleaders rehearse with a bass drum in Jalen's bedroom.
The drum is a very important part of cheering. Yeah, we feel that vibration, and it's great.
Jalen and other cheerleaders shake orange and black pom-poms that match their uniforms. In rehearsal, they wear red t-shirts emblazoned with white lettering that reads, Bows and Biceps. Jalen corrects Lara.
No, watch. Follow me.
She stares intently. Her name appears, Lyra. The group toss her high in the air, then catch her in their arms. At a night game, they cheer on the sidelines in their uniforms. At a night practice, Amari drills blocking techniques with a teammate. He wears his practice jersey and walks off the field. At home, he sits around the kitchen table with his family.
All right.
Amari watches his family for a moment, then gets up from the table. In his bedroom, he sits down on his bed and wrings his hands. He stares at the window. Images of an outside alley flash. Amari signs.
I'm the only deaf person in my family. Yeah, I do feel lonely. When I was a kid, they would just talk around me, and I didn't understand any of it. So I just go off on my own. When I run into hearing people out in the world, I feel as a deaf person, I'm alone.
Amari and his mother look through photos.
That's Dad?
Yes.
Outside, a man with glasses stands on a street corner.
I was about 2 years old when my dad left.
The man walks down the street.
I do wonder why my dad left. Is it because I'm deaf? Maybe. I don't know.
A bus passes as Amari's father waits on a corner. Amari stares out his bedroom window. As the sun rises, Amari works out with a tackle sled on the football field. He springs from a three-point stance and tackles a padded dummy on the metal sled. He stands with his hands on his hips as the sun peeks over the trees. Elsewhere, a couple sorts through photographs of a young boy.
Very cute.
In Amari's bedroom.
Teddy's gone. He was my best friend.
A name appears over one of the photos. Teddy. A teenage Teddy wears a Maryland football uniform in a photo. In a video, Teddy wears a bright blue shirt with a black bow tie. In Amari's bedroom.
Teddy was on our football team at Maryland School for the Deaf. Jalen and Teddy, that was Jalen's first relationship. Jalen's first love.
Jalen and Teddy grin in a photo. In Jalen's bedroom.
The reason I was attracted to Teddy is he was funny. He always made me laugh. Not only that, but we could have really good conversations. We could talk about anything.
And then sophomore year, he transferred to a hearing school. They were asking him, hey, you're deaf, what are you doing here? You should go back to the deaf school.
He was being bullied because of his deafness. And he was wearing hearing aids, and they would flick his hearing aid off. He just had so many issues going on. His identity, his family, his friends, he was being bullied. There were so many things going on, and it took a toll on him.
In the video, Teddy looks down into the camera.
Teddy hanged himself.
Amari stares off with a solemn expression. The couple flips through a photo album. A page signed by friends reads, "We love and miss you, Teddy."
Teddy was our third adopted child. Many of the people that were with him did not understand what he was dealing with, but he was battling some demons.
Teddy's adoptive parents look at a memorial video on a laptop.
And not being able to console him with sound was difficult. I do feel as though there's some isolation that they must feel when they're not with people who can communicate with them.
At home, seated on a couch, Lara signs,
"Teddy was my close friend. We grew up together. When he killed himself, it was a huge shock to us. It had a really big impact on our community.
I felt like I wanted to hurt myself because he was gone. I wanted to hurt myself. I tried to cut myself."
He points to his forearm.
"I felt angry. It was a mixture of anger, feeling upset, sadness. I feel that now that he's gone, it's made it a little bit tougher."
In Jalen's room.
"He's gone, but Teddy's always gonna have a special place in my heart."
One of Amari's teammates lifts up his shirt and reveals a large tattoo of a teddy bear in a helmet and football jersey. The name Teddy is tattooed next to the bear. Lights turn on in a hallway at the school. A sign above a workout room reads, "Championships start here." Amari's teammates applaud as he enters. Amari holds a loaded barbell across his shoulders and squats. Other teammates perform the exercise. Coach Ryan signs in the locker room.
"Discrimination is everywhere. It's pretty much inevitable for them. I think it's how we react to the discrimination."
Amari focuses intently in the workout room. The players gather around Coach Ryan.
"Ready? Ready?"
One of the boys bench presses a loaded barbell as the other players gather around him. Coach Ryan stands above the boy and watches his repetitions. He puts the barbell on the stand and gets up. Amari takes his place on the bench and lifts the barbell. Coach Ryan sits in the locker room.
"A lot of the hearing teams don't want to play us. And most coaches don't like to lose to deaf coaches."
A teammate signs in the school hallway.
"Out in the hearing world, they tend to look down on deaf people. And they don't think we can do things as well. So the way to prove them wrong is to beat them, to crush them on the field, and teach them that deaf people can do anything. And we prove to them that we are the same."
In the workout room, Amari completes several bench presses, then high-fives a teammate. Amari shakes out his neck. After the workout, he walks down a hallway with his backpack.
"When Amari was born, I was 25 years old."
Amari's father walks down a street in the daytime.
"I walked out because I was terrified. At the time that he was sick, I didn't know what to expect. I walked out on my family, immaturely, very foolishly, and later regretted it." I sold heroin and a lot of it, and I got in a lot of trouble.
He enters the Morningstar Baptist Church of Christ.
"God found his way back into my heart. And that really, my faith journey began my transition away from a life in the streets. And I decided that whatever it would take for me to heal our relationship and be a part of his life, that's what I was willing to do. And it started slow. Everything about being in his world is a learning experience, amen, because my son is deaf."
He addresses a congregation.
"I watch him and his team with what should appear to be a decided disadvantage beat the mess out of people every time I go watch them play over the course of the last 3 years. They were on a 42-game win streak. Do you know how many seasons it takes to accumulate a 42-game win streak? And a team came up from Texas and something happened that was just completely unexpected. my son's team got beat.
Scenes alternate between the church and the school's football field.
At the end of the game, one of the players raised his hand and he wanted to speak. His number was 23. He stood up and he said, "This loss will not define us as a team."
Number 23 signs to the players and fans gathered on the sidelines.
The reality of this life is that while we are living, we are going to face some adversity, yet we must examine who we are in the face of adversity. It's not what we go through. It's how we choose to go through it. They gonna take you and think that you at a disadvantage when the reality of it is all you need to do is go suit up and execute the plan for your life that God has for you. I watch these young people week after week as I go to these games. They beat the starch out of people and people never see it coming because in a lot of cases they think just because.
The team takes to the practice field.
Amen.
Amari and his teammates move down a long hallway to the field.
No matter how tough it gets, we gotta continue to go hard and continue to press and continue to fight.
Maryland players tackle an opponent.
I watch these young men battle to the last whistle. They played until it was zeros left on the clock. And guess what I can tell you from the effort that I saw from them? They left it all on the field.
After practice, the players jog single file past the coaches and high-five them. Amari claps his hands, then addresses his teammates on the sidelines as dusk falls.
In the game, when we go to huddle, pay attention to the next play. Get in and get out. So make sure you're looking at the play call, not messing around, and talking to each other. The important thing is, this is our last game. I need 110% effort out there. Work hard. We don't need any heroes out there. Let's tackle it, and we'll get the win. That's all it takes. Not showing off, no messing around.
Amari and other teammates crouch down, pull grass from the field and toss it into the air. They step side to side and pump their fists in a celebratory dance. Night falls. Under the bright stadium lights, Amari and three other players stand in a circle and hop side to side with rhythmic steps. They pump their fists and chest pump each other. Next, Jalen and Amari stand on either side of a chain link fence near the field and sign.
Hey, what about homecoming?
Me? Who am I gonna ask?
What about Lyra?
Amari grimaces.
I'm just asking.
She doesn't want me. She avoids me. So I give her space. You know? Thanks.
Yep. Well, peace out.
I am copying your sign for that.
Amari and Jalen hug over the fence. Amari waves and watches Jalen leave. At night, Amari and one of his teammates ride their bikes. They cycle down the middle of the road. Amari's teammate rests his feet on his handlebars and coasts. Amari wears a New York Knicks jersey, and his teammate wears a Boston Celtics jersey. A group of students party outside a house. Jalen wears a tie-dyed crop top with a fringe. He plays music from his phone through a speaker. A light on the speaker flashes in time to the music. Jalen dances with others at the party. Amari arrives and hugs a friend. Inside, they light candles on a cake that reads, "Happy 18th birthday, Truth." The teammate in the Celtics jersey holds the cake.
Hey, shut up. Blow out the candles.
Truth blows out all 18 candles. Outside, friends dance around a bonfire. Jalen swivels his hips and dances with Lyra. He grabs her around the waist and they laugh with each other. group of friends line dance in the street under a streetlight. Amari and two teammates perform the side-to-side rhythmic steps around the fire. The line dancers swing their arms and perform steps in unison. Later, Amari and Lyra walk together.
Do you want to get some ice cream here?
He opens the door to an ice cream shop and follows Lyra inside. She holds a card up to a man behind the counter and points to the ice cream flavor listed on it.
Are you gonna pay? Oh, I am paying for you? I'm broke.
He grins at Lyra.
I'm just teasing you.
They leave the shop with dishes of ice cream. They sit at a table outside and eat together.
I'm just curious, what's going on with us? What are we?
I don't know. Are we together or are we not? I don't know.
I'm a little scared.
We have a lot going on.
Are we together?
She rests her elbow on the table and extends her pinky. He links his pinky with hers. They link their index fingers and touch their thumbs together. Amari leans forward and gives her a quick kiss. Daytime. Amari and his father walk down a street and sign to each other. Inside the church, they stand together in front of the congregation.
I'm trying not to cry. This is my youngest son. This is Amari. Amari used to come when he was a baby, and I'm just glad to have him here. This is the first time he's been here, probably since he was about 7 years old. And I always tell people, this is my inspiration in life. Amen. He is the one in life that inspires me. Amen. And I just thank God for him being here today.
He kisses Amari's forehead and holds him close.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming up. Amen.
I would say that their relationship is growing.
Amari's mother sits in her kitchen.
I don't believe that they are at the father-son point that they should be at this time in his life, but they're working on it. I can truly say that Marvin's working on it.
Outside, Marvin and Amari continue down the street.
I had a strong throw.
You were a receiver?
WR.
Oh, you were a wide receiver. What happened?
Not now. That was way back then. Way back.
Right, back in the day.
I was good.
Oh, really?
I was good.
Could you catch the ball with only one hand?
In Amari's bedroom.
When I was growing up without dad, he left and I was kind of disgusted with him. It's tough, it's difficult, and my role model was gone. But now I feel like I'm connecting with dad.
Outside, they sign to each other. Marvin holds out his arm like a referee and they share a laugh.
I just always want to be able to show him that whatever differences he feels in my world, I'm willing to go and experience those same differences in his world.
Marvin puts his arm around Amari after a night game. Lights turn on inside the locker room. The players' uniforms hang in their lockers. Players sign in interviews.
So tomorrow's our homecoming game and our homecoming day. It's homecoming. We're expecting a big crowd. We're playing the Virginia Spartans. The Virginia Spartans are a hearing team.
Amari sits in the locker room.
It's my very last game. I'm going to be very emotional about it.
He jogs out onto the football field as the sun rises. He works out with a tractor tire and flips it over several times along the field. Next, he walks along the bottom of a pool, holding kettlebells. A woman pounds on a bass drum at a pep rally in the gym. Jalen and the other cheerleaders bound onto the floor and encourage the crowd to cheer. Spectators stamp their feet on the floor and shout in response to the cheerleaders' signals. Amari sits on the bleachers with the crowd. Everyone watches the cheerleaders perform routines. Dressed in black, the cheerleaders shake orange and black pom-poms. Jalen wears a sparkly gold skirt. Lyra soars in a throw, then drops into the arms of the rest of the squad. The school superintendent stands in front of the crowd and waves his hand.
You ready? Ready? The big announcement. The homecoming king goes to... Amari McKenstry.
Amari gets up from the bleachers. He wears an orange tutu over black shorts and does a backflip before running over to hug the superintendent. Students of the homecoming court line up in front of the crowd. In Amari's bedroom.
You know, any success is for Teddy. When we win for Teddy. We keep him in our hearts.
In the Orioles locker room, one of the players high-fives his teammates before the homecoming game. The lights go out in the locker room. Amari stares intently. White sports tape circles his wrist with Teddy's name handwritten on it. The lights flick on and off. The players hype themselves up. Amari closes his eyes and shouts with his mouth open wide. Next, they bound down a hallway, then run out onto the field. They break through a banner held by the cheerleaders. The team's mascot, dressed in an Oriole costume, waves a black and orange flag. The players huddle together and flap their arms. The Spartans' coach addresses his players.
It is a football game. You are guys playing football. They are guys playing football. They're football players, and they're here to win today. You don't have to forget that they're deaf. They will use that as a strength.
The Orioles' defense take their positions at the line of scrimmage. They move from the line in unison, and their kicker kicks the football off a tee. A Spartans receiver catches the ball and runs downfield. The Orioles' defense tackle him. Coach Ryan signs to the players in a huddle. The Spartans run successful passing plays before the Orioles' offense takes possession. They run several passing plays, but fail to execute a successful reception. An opposing player grabs the face mask of one of the Orioles' receivers during a tackle. The players on the sidelines throw their hands up in frustration. Coach Ryan signs frantically. Jalen watches anxiously and shuffles his pom-poms. The Orioles quarterback throws two more incomplete passes. The Spartans take possession of the ball and complete a pass. Coach Ryan bends over in frustration. At halftime, the scoreboard reads, Orioles 6, Spartans 6. In the locker room, Amari signs.
Don't let up. Let's come back stronger, together. So don't give up. Don't give up. Come on.
The teams line up on the field for the second half. The Orioles execute a running play and make a significant gain. Tempers flare and the players jostle each other. Players and coaches separate the others and play resumes. The Orioles score a touchdown. Marvin watches from the bleachers. Lyra and Jalen cheer on the sidelines with the rest of the squad. The Orioles hit their stride and execute two more successful completions, culminating in another touchdown. Amari's family celebrate in the bleachers as the team scores again. A grin spreads across Jalen's face. As the clock counts down to zero, the final score reads, Orioles 20, Spartans 14. The Orioles coaches and players hug. The team dumps the water cooler over Coach Ryan. Amari's mother wears the homecoming king crown. Amari takes it off and puts it on his own head and then kisses her cheek. Marvin watches his son and beams. Lyra hugs Teddy's parents on the sidelines. Amari hugs them next. Teddy's father touches Amari's cheek, then reads Teddy's name on Amari's wrist and smiles. Coach Ryan sits in the locker room.
I think their biggest challenge is going to be coming out of this bubble. Once they get out of there, it's not a guarantee. So there are going to be a lot of obstacles for them to face that they haven't faced here on campus.
On the field, Amari hugs his mother. The players throw grass into the air and step side to side. At night, they perform their rally steps at the homecoming dance. Now dressed in formal wear, the students wave their arms in the air and dance in a large group. Jalen leads everyone in line dance choreography. Amari wears sunglasses with his homecoming king crown. He wraps his arms around Lyra and dips her. Daytime. Amari, Lyra, and Jalen stand with Teddy's parents in a cemetery. They gather around a tombstone that reads, Theodore Teddy James Webster, June 9, 2001 to November 4, 2017. In Jalen's bedroom.
Life is short, you know. Anything can happen at any time. Just be who you want to be and be yourself. And that's all it needs to be. Be yourself, you know.
At the cemetery, Lyra stands between Jalen and Amari. Teddy's parents stand close by with their arms around each other. Jalen, Lyra, and Amari lean their heads together in Amari's bedroom.
You know, I'll be 18 soon. I'll be graduating and I'm going out into the real world. I need to be prepared for that. And what scares me is the unknown. Things that can get fucked up. Those challenges, you know? When I'm out in the world, help me learn. And I'm ready for the world.
At the cemetery, sunlight shines on the faces of Amari, Lyra, and Jalen. They stare at Teddy's tombstone. An American Sign Language hand symbol carved in the tombstone reads, I love you. Credits, described video by Descriptive Video Works, produced by Jeff McLean, cinematographer Billy Pena, editor Darren Roberts, music by Jackson Greenberg, executive producers Peter Berg, Matthew Goldberg, Brandon Carroll, Matt Oggins, Niall DeMarco, co-executive producer Sammy Houseman, Maryland School for the Deaf football team, Ryan Bonheo, Andy Bonheo, Neil DeMarco, Sean Harrington, Brandon McMillan Mujinski, Gabriel Asante Quachi, Rocco Bauer, Colton Bozalewski, Jared Beckler, Kenny Bisenthe, Dakai Bryant, Truth Dorset, Ethan Gettler, Amin Hafid, Cross Herpin, Keanu Herzig Wilcox, Jamal Johnson, Calvin Johnson Jr., Jaden Joseph, Amari McKinstry, Zion Ortiz, Eno Otto, Miguel Paveo, Brian Pineda, Jamal Porter, Ethan Shepik, Nathan Shepik, Peter Thang, Jory Valencia, Pacey Wilson, cheerleaders, Anisha Lane, Ivy Davis, Ola Wakayodi Onabiyi, Sabrina Furl, Lanice Oliver, Lyra Walkup, Jalen Whitehurst. Copyright 2021, Netflix Worldwide Entertainment, LLC, all rights reserved.
A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.